are blessed by him as well. And I just want to acknowledge you. And I am honored to be here today to get to speak on your birthday. So I don't take it lightly. Like, I was, when you asked me, I was like, wow. Like, I, yeah, definitely. It's a great charge I felt from the Lord. And I, you know, Pastor Jeff, he asked me, you know, to share what was on my heart. And so I really was, you know, just seeking the Lord all week, this past week, and really asking him. And something that's really been on my heart, and it just feels emboldened in the last few weeks personally, was just the place of praying for Israel. So I'm going to speak into that. My hope tonight is to encourage you. And I know that many of you here are champions on the wall, you know, praying for Israel, and it's something that's dear to your heart. And so I just want to come alongside you guys, encourage you. I'm also going to, it's not a two-part message, but I'm also just going to share with Shavuot, I would say it wrong, coming up this weekend. I'm just going to share a little bit about that because I just feel like there's a powerful place in prayer and connecting with Israel and just being a part of the body of Christ. And just kind of being aware heading into this weekend. And I heard a rumor that there might be something going on Sunday with a special message that I might just be, you know, getting the appetite going for. So I'm excited to be a part of that in that way. All right, so let me see here. So to start off, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a background on me personally with Israel. And, you know, my name is Jacob, and I really, you know, besides the power of God, like, that's the only thing that, like, comes to my mind. Like, why do I have this passion for Israel? Well, my name is Jacob. Must have been something going on there with God. But I just remember, you know, 10, 15, 12 years, I'm somewhere around there. I just, on my own, back home in Oregon where I'm from, I just start to develop, as I read the Word of God, this innate desire and hunger to know about Israel. And I feel like God, just the themes of Israel were just screaming out of the Word of God. And, you know, one of the things that that I like to, my dad actually, you know, says over me, he's like, you know, you are favored by the God of Jacob. You know, and just kind of like, it's an easy thing to remember growing up or just even as a young man, but as a man, like, that's powerful, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that was such a pivotal part of ancient Jewish culture to declare that over one another. And so for me, I really love that. And so the last probably 6-7 years, I've been here in Kansas City about 7 years now, and somewhere around about the six-year mark, about 6 years ago, I found myself in prayer meetings for Israel. Just like, you know, as you know, I'm a missionary with the International House of Prayer, and we're in the prayer room a lot. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, go on too much about what we do there, but I just want to share to encourage you guys that, you know, we have prayer sets going multiple times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. set, just corporately coming together. But there, it's cool because I'm going to share just a little bit tonight as I get going here about some of the prophetic history with Israel in this area and things that were spoken over IHOP, which has to do with the whole, with Kansas City. So it's really cool, and it just stirred me, I think, even to want to, like, share about tonight, like, what's on my heart? Like, you know, like, this is, like, the embassy happening, all these things that are happening. This is a unique season we're living in, and there's prayers that have been going on for decades and generations that meet us right here at this point in human history, and we get to be a part of it as we partner with God. So, so I've been able to help lead prayer meetings for Israel for the last 6 years and just growing in that and growing in a hunger and desire to partner with God for his plans and purposes for the Jewish people, for the land, to prepare Jesus' homeland for his return, you know, and just thinking about that way and just that the people and, you know, that all of Israel would be saved, as Scripture says. And we're just going to, you know, hit a little bit of that tonight. And so one of the things I'll just start off saying that was really cool that happened recently was IHOP, like I was saying, they just had the 19-year anniversary happened. I believe it was last Monday. And a very unique thing happened where there was a, it is cool because just kind of hearing a little bit about the history of Israel and Truman and things that happened in like this area and what God has done. Like it's crazy that we live here in Grandview, you know, and like God is, what he's done then and what he's about to do. So like what we're a part of is small compared to like, things are going to go global, you know, and God, he takes Israel really seriously. And that's how he's chosen to be known in the nations, is through Israel. So back in, at the end of World War II, it's really cool. Now we got to have a celebration service, kind of marking the 19 years of IHOP, but it was like two Sundays ago, but it was also celebrating 70 years of Israel being a state, and just the significance of that and what happened with Truman. And so I learned a lot that day. We actually dedicated the land over there, the Truman property, to the Lord after 10 years of having it, which was just a supernatural event, how the finance came in for that. A Jewish family sold it, which I'll to us, but I'll get into that in a minute. But one of the things that was really powerful about this area and just hearing about Truman, besides just being where he came from, as where his family was, you know, grew up, and he was raised here at an early age and went off in life, did some business adventures, and then God just through circumstances, and I'm not sure how old, if he's in his 30s or what it was, but he spent about 10 years here in Grandview on the Truman property farming it. And so it's cool because you find out, like, it's those lessons that he learned during those 10 years of just working the land, serving his family, not serving himself, because he actually was farming. So he was actually, before that, he was in business in California doing stuff, and he actually came for 10 years to serve his family and work the land. And so just thinking about the hardships and what God taught him through that land and how that led to where he was at as the president of the United States. And so there was an Esther moment that happened, we found. I never heard about this before. But apparently there's two biographies, or it's in the diaries of Truman and then his dear friend who was a Jewish believer, who was a business partner of his. And so right at the time that Britain, at the end of World War II, Britain announced they were going to pull out of Palestine, right then, I mean, this was happening 70 years ago, the United Nations apparently declared that they were going to seize the land and they were going to govern it. So they made it known to the world, like, we're coming in after Britain's out. We will be the ones. We've proclaimed ourselves the ones that will make sure things happen right with this land. And the Arab nations, all of them started making their claims, saying if anybody dare tries to allow any Jew to come in the land and make a home or whatever, we will push them into the sea and destroy them. I mean, they were talking about it then. I mean, in the world, it was just the momentum was going that way. So they did this little video on it just to show you, like, the significance of what was happening at the time. And even the Secretary of State, who's a general of the United States, was, like, all about, I mean, strongly telling Truman, as many people were, you know, like, just go with it. Just let the UN do what they're going to do. Don't you dare do nothing. Don't you dare do nothing. And he, you know, he was a Democrat, and you know, normally whatever party line you're at, usually you go with what your party is doing, which is a miracle in itself of what happened. So Truman locks himself in his office and does not want to see anybody days leading up to the decision having been made, like to Britain pulling out. And the guy, I don't know his name, but it's the guy historically who, because it's a longer name, but who becomes the first president of Israel, is trying to come in and see Truman. I mean, he wants to plant the seeds, like, we want a Jewish state. We want a homeland. We need this. It's the end of World War II, and Truman won't see him. He won't see anybody. he's turned away. But his Jewish business friend from his early days, before he farmed the land, he's either before or after the farming the land here in Grandview, comes to see him, and Truman opens up his office and says, yeah, I'll see you. The only person he'll see, he sees him. But he doesn't know the guy is not, he's on a mission from God. That's what it's a real-life Esther moment. And he, in the midst of it all, presses Truman about Israel. Like, what are you going to do about Israel? And they have a confrontation in the office. And it's in the biography. And literally, you know, he, you know, encourages him to see this guy who becomes the first president or prime minister of Israel and who ends up becoming it. But he's the guy kind of championing the, you know, Israel becoming a state. You know, and Truman turns his back to him, looks out the window for like 3 minutes. And the guy says it was the longest 3 minutes of his life. And he didn't know what was going to happen. And he was like, just fear gripping him. Because like, this is the most powerful man in the world. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? This is my friend. This is going to ruin our friendship. Like, what's going to happen? And Truman turns around after 3 minutes and says, fine, you win. And says some, you know, explicit words apparently. And I'll see him. And just like that, history starts to go down where he ends up seeing the guy the next day or two, and the seed is planted. And the day, I think it must have been the day of Britain pulling out, then he declares, the guy who becomes the president of Israel, he declares that they are forming a Jewish state and that this is going to be the homeland. Basically, like, before anybody else could say it, we're taking this land and we're making it a state out of it for Israel. And so Truman, I guess, is quoted saying this, that this was the longest 11 minutes of his life or something to that degree. But 11 minutes after he did it, he makes the declaration that the United States will see or recognize Israel as a Jewish state. So then it becomes, which is just amazing to me, because then you have the, you know, end of World War II, America, you know, thinking about it, they dropped the nuke, they've shown the strength, the world shifted all of a sudden, and it's like, America just said that, what are you going to do about that? You know, like the United Nations, like everyone, they have to go with this. It's like, and the rest is history. And just thinking about that, like God sending this Jewish man to come in, speak to Truman, and how that was so significant in what happened. So this property right down the road, it's really cool. There's a lot of prophetic words over it, and the Truman family owned it 60 years ago. Up to 60 years ago, they owned all of this property, it's the other side of the freeway, and that big open land over there is what we're talking about right now, but they owned all of this. So they sold it to a Jewish family, and on the 50-year jubilee 10 years ago, they put it up for sale, like the children of the family, and they wanted like $10 million for it, and somehow they end up calling like whoever was in charge, I think his name is Gary Cooper or something like that, the financial guy who finances at IHOP, and says, we'll sell it to you for $10 million, like for $1 million. Basically, long story short, it was just the back taxes. Like they wanted to give it to him for free, but like, will you just take it off our hands? Very strange, because they could have got $10 million. Now it's worth so much more, you know, because it could be worth $1 billion when they're all said and done, because all the houses or development with things are about to happen in Grandview, like this place is about to take off. And just knowing city government, there's stuff that's brewing underneath the surface of ideas and plans they have. So, and business is coming in already. So it's really mind-boggling. It was like that same day, there was a wealthy businessman that happened to be in town, and the guy, Mike Bickle was telling the story, and the guy says, I always keep my money going. If I make a big business deal, I don't keep it. I invest it right away. I never put it in my bank. He just happened to make this big deal and had $1 million in his bank account, and never ever happens. And he just came into town and happened to be there when Mike gets the call about this. And Mike's like, well, that's great, but we don't have the money, so that's nice, you know, but hey, whatever, you know, God could do something, but right now, you know, and the guy's like, wait a minute, wait, what's going on? And the guy pledges his $1 million because he's like, to have it in there for a reason. I was not expecting this. So that was 10 years ago. It's just been sitting there. And just even the thought, like we don't want to do nothing with it until God moves, you know, until God releases funds and all that. So reason why I say that when I'm talking about this is because there has been prophetic words. Jill Austin spoken this and others about this land being a United Nations of prayer for Israel. The nations are going to come, and I don't know if it's going to be multiple prayer rooms on there, but huge. It's going to be bigger than what's happening now, but where the nations are coming and getting trained, equipped, ministries will be going out of it, but it's going to be centered around Israel. And from what I understand, the word was 100 million intercessors for Israel will be raised up and be going out into the nations of the earth. So we have that in our heart now, in the small early days, but believing in faith that, like, you're going to do it, God. You're going to raise it up. And the full plans and purpose and the destiny of Israel, it's going to come to pass, and we get to partner in it. So I'm just telling you guys that so you know, like, there's exciting things on the horizon. I don't know the time frame. I don't know if it's going to be how far down the road, but, like, God knows, and he's going to do it. So we just have faith for that. So you could go to the next slide. So, you know, in praying for Israel, you know, I'm just going to go through some scriptures, encourage us, and, you know, I really do believe that it is the call of every believer, you know, who belongs to Yeshua, who is part of the body of Christ, to be praying for Israel. You know, I think you, if you really know scripture, it's almost like, how can you not? You know, like, it's almost a commandment in itself without you really realizing it. You know, without it being, like, explicit number 11 on the list or number 1 on the list of the commandments, it's like, it should be there. So, right here, Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And then Psalms 122:6, for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. And probably one of the most influential quotes I've heard probably in the last 2 or 3 years, I think it was about 2 years ago she said it. It was during a very, very interesting season here where a lot of words are being spoken about Israel. And then she, just all on her own, has like this, from what I understand, was in her secret place with the Lord praying, and there's a lot of turmoil going on in America and political realm. I think the elections are coming up, and what's going to happen, Lord? And so she's praying, and the Lord answers to her about America and says this: if you really want to bless America, bless and pray for Israel. Like, yeah, that was his answer to her about how do we pray for it, how do we pray for America? What do? That's what you do. And so that really is kind of an about face even for me, you know, to like, and just to share people like, man, like, this is what it's about. You know, we want to release those blessings so we can be blessed. Saying all that, there's a, you know, just with the embassy that's happened, the move that happened this past weekend and on Monday, and just all these different world events happening, I mean, human history, just as Pastor Jeff was speaking about, you know, with Trump and the 45th president and Cyrus, the word spoken, like, this is not an accident. I mean, this is, even the things that we're praying into now, it's for bigger things. And so I'm thinking about here, you know, after 7 years, multiple times for Daniel and Nehemiah and during those time frames, after 7 years of being out of the land, and then something happens to go build something. The release seemed to go rebuild the temple, the walls, the city, you know, all these different things. Something amazing always happens for Israel right afterwards. The gathering of the people, coming back into the land, what have you. You know, Israel becoming a nation now 70 years. Then the embassy's moved. Like, we're ready for something to happen, aren't we? I mean, like, we're praying for it. And so this saying that the Lord told her is so important for this day and age because there's that saying, you know, as it is in Israel is in America, and as it is in America is in Israel, just that spiritual connection that America's had especially since for the last 70 years. It's been pretty obvious to those who are paying attention. And so there's another saying that I think is so powerful. I was sharing this with somebody right after the embassy, I think it was Tuesday morning, and just about Israel and America, and they go, you know, that's really interesting because as it is in America, it is in the nations. And what we do as a nation, as a country, it affects the world. And so just thinking about that, the top down, us praying for Israel and the connection America has and blessing Israel, it affects the nations of the earth. So I think that was probably one of the things, you know, just to even encourage you in this room, like, I was so thankful to be an American. And just thinking about that, like, wait, we get to be Americans and in this part of human history, blessing Israel and being a part of what God's doing with the embassy being moved and 70 years of them being in the land, fulfilling prophecy. Like, what else is about to come? Like, we get the honor of doing this. This is great. Next slide, please. And so one of the things, you know, that I think everyone in this room probably knows, you know, but it is something that is so devoid in the body of Christ. You know, like just the revelation that Jesus is not a Gentile. He's a Jew. Shocking, I know. Shocking. And I got to go 2 years ago to Israel on a mission trip, and we ministered to a lot of Messianic believers in the land there. Some of the Palestinian believers who are under persecution. I mean, just you just got a big picture of like what was happening there, and even just with the terrorists and just the shady things they do to people, like using humans as shields and sacrificing their young and their youth, and taking in money from the world. And there's a guy from it was a guy from the Palestinian side who's a believer, and like most of his friends are gone. They were like taken in the middle of the night. Things happen. If you get too vocal, they find out you're gone. You're done. And so you have to be courageous and fearless. And so they actually snuck him over to speak into Israel. And he was just saying how like there's, you know, this is the future place of this hospital, future place of this building. It's money that was given by us and by others that they just used for war. They never used it for other people. And so you saw the reality of that. And but the thing that was really gripping too was just the belief or understanding from a messianic side of things. A Jew believed in Jesus, Yeshua, and even those Gentile churches that are in the area, like they're so used to Christian tourists coming in, but never ever having any connection with them at all. Like they're just there to go on their tour. Thousands coming in right now. It's like the highest point of tourists, like almost ever in the history of Israel. Even with all the crazy things happening right now, like this week, it's like the streets are crowded, like beyond, you know, normal. And so that was a big burden, like, wow, like to actually like come alongside of them and just love on them and like, you're not forgotten. And to come back to America, like, hey, man, if you ever go there, like reach out to the body of Christ there, like, because they're the ones on the ground, like the things that happen, like when Jesus is saying woe to, you know, those, you know, the woman with child and woe to you, this and that, like he's looking around and he's looking at those in Israel. You know, like he ain't just talking about Africa here. He's talking about in the land. So just that reality of like the church there, the believers in the land there, those that are locked in, they're growing, they're raising their families there. Like they're going to be in some crazy stuff down the road here. So we need to be praying for them. You know, like they need it. If God's going to do something, he's going to do it there. If the book of Acts is going to be reignited again, man, he's going to do it there with the Jews on the land with the Abrahamic blessings and anointings and everything that are there. So just having the understanding that Jesus is a Jewish man who's jealous for his bride, he's jealous for his people, he has an inheritance and he has a destiny for them. And and what's really cool is if you really look at scripture, like up until that it's crazy, like in the garden when he's being tempted, like he literally, if you watch the words that what is spoken by, you know, I could do a teaching on it, but it just off the top of my head, I remember going through it like, oh my goodness, like Jesus is just physically and spiritually, he's spiritually fulfilling all the promises of Israel right here. Satan's testing him, and his answers are actually like, he's doing it, boom, like right in your face, Satan, boom, right in your face, boom, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. So he really solidified his authority as the king of Israel and as the one who is in charge right there in the garden before he goes to the cross, before he's headed to, you know, the next few days. And I'm just sitting there. Now, that's when he got tested and everything by the devil. And so I'm just sitting there like, this is amazing. And so he's coming back to physically finish it. He's coming back, you know, to do what he did in the spirit, you know, with retaking the land physically in the future. But thinking about how he cared about his family, they're Jews, they weren't Gentiles. He cared about the people and just so much about Jewish culture, as I think you guys know in this room and are well versed more than a lot of people. You know, it was so much of it, you know, centered around God, like tangible things that God gave to them that people, other nations would see that represented God. And, you know, the sanctity of life and family and marriage and holding these things, you know, that are actually very supernatural. You know, like we look at it very lightly, but it's supernatural. You know, like it's God's weapon on the earth. And those small, meek, humble things to actually uphold life and to have godly marriages and families, to raise your children with conviction and loving Jesus. And I mean, it changes the world. It shifts things. It shifts communities. And at the heart of Israel, you know, the ancient days, that was where a lot of it comes from, God requesting them to do that. So Jesus, I'll go back to that slide. It is important to keep in front of us when we look at Israel that Jesus is a Jewish man still today and forever. He cares so deeply for Israel, and God has chosen to be made known to the world through Israel. And then Deuteronomy 7:7-8. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. That's Deuteronomy 7:7-8. You go to the next slide. Thank you. So that's just, he loves Israel so much. And just, you know, you can just look at the word of Jesus over and over again. He came first for the Jew, then the Gentile, you know, and it's amazing to see that. Like, why would he change that? You know, like, when did he throw that out? You know, like, yeah, he never threw that out. Like, and so it's really interesting, I think, as we pray for Israel, that it's in a place of like, God, I hope that the church is awakened, like globally, to this reality. Like, Jesus would never just forsake his family. He would never just, you know, if they believe, like James and, you know, he had brothers that fought him all the way to the end. You know, like they didn't believe him. And then after the resurrection, it's like, oh, I guess you were right the whole time. Like, you are the Messiah. You are. And then they were all in, and they loved him. And so just the thinking of, like, man, just the relationship that he had with his siblings, how much he must have loved him. I actually heard this once, that why is it that you never hear any mention of Jesus' family, his interactions with them up until 30 years old? You know, you never hear about what happened when he's growing up, the adventures, disagreements, what have you. And the thought is that there's a specific reason for that, because Jesus cared so much for his family. He honored them so much that he didn't want the world to know what was going on with them. Like, he wanted to cover them. He didn't want to, like, oh, yeah, man, they were back-talking me the whole time, and they always thought they couldn't be perfect around me. I mean, he didn't want them looking bad. He cared that much about them. You know, so just like, wow, I never really thought about that, you know, and he had a lot of brothers and sisters, and just imagine being a sibling of Jesus and how hard that must have been. So Jesus really, he shows God's desire for Israel. You know, like, God would send his son because he loves the world. And Israel has there's a blessing that Israel has for the whole world, to bless the nations of the earth. And I believe they are right now. I mean, the diaspora is pretty amazing if you think about it. There's Jews in almost every nation, it seems like. You know, I don't know a nation that's not or hasn't been a Jew that's walked the land. You know, and it's like, even if they're not following the Lord, the fact that they're there and they're alive and they're fulfilling prophecy and scripture just by their life, whatever they might be like, they're blessing the nation of the earth there. And there's, I've heard stories about things happening in Israel where the enemy is trying to do stuff and just, you know, terrorist attacks and things that, like the, there's a bomb going to go off at the temple and the IDF stopped it from happening. And it was like all, you know, like the secret service there, Mossad, like they found out about it. But like just thinking about, they thwarted that from happening. And there's houses of prayer there on the ground that heard about it, that were praying. Like God highlighted, pray for this area. Then the forces came in, stopped the cell from blowing up the temple. But like, wait, we all get blessed. The temple's still there. You know, like there is a perpetual blessing of the nations of the earth happening today. So